Well, good morning, everyone. So first off, I'd like to start with a bit of history. Then I'll tell you guys why I chose this. And it's a bit of a story. So the writer, the words are written by Fanny J. Crosby. And I got a lot of this from Then Sings My Soul that Trevor borrowed to me, a book that I really like. I like old hymns. And the music was by Phoebe Palmer Knapp, I think that's how you say it. It's a bit of a complicated word. But I'll just read the story. So I'll just read it right out of here, and then maybe if you guys, I'll just explain a bit of it. Another of Fanny's dearest friends, so this is Fanny, the writer, was Phoebe Knapp. And Phoebe Knapp was really rich, I guess. She lived, well, I'll just read, so put it that way. While Fanny lived in the Manhattan slums and worked in rescue missions, Phoebe lived in Knapp Mansion, a palatial residence in Brooklyn, where she entertained lavishly. She was an extravagant dresser with a wardrobe full of elaborate gowns and diamond tiaras. Her music room contained one of the finest collections of instruments in the country, and Fanny was a frequent house guest. One day in 1873, while Fanny was staying at the Knapp Mansion, Phoebe said she had a tune she wanted to play. Going to the music room, she sat at the piano and played a new composition of her own while the blind hymnist listened. Fanny immediately clapped her hands and explained, "Why, that says Blessed Assurance." She quickly composed the words, and a great hymn was born. So I've heard different stories of this, and some say that she said she would pray about it, and then God gave her the words, but this says she immediately said Blessed Assurance, and then I guess she wrote the rest of the song, which that is basically all the song is, just a repeating of Blessed Assurance. So many years later, D.L. Moody was preaching in New York at the 23rd Street Dutch Reformed Church. The Moody Sankey meetings had popularized Fanny Crosby's hymns around the world and had made the blind poetess a household name. But whenever she attended a Moody Sankey meeting, she refused to be recognized, disavowing a claim. This day, the church was so crowded she could find nowhere to sit. Moody's son, Will, seeing her, offered to find her a seat. To her bewilderment, he led her onto the platform just as the crowd was singing Blessed Assurance. Moody Sr. jumped to his feet, raised his hand, and interrupted the singing. "Praise the Lord," he shouted. "Here comes the authoress." Fanny took her seat amid thunderous ovation, humbly thanking God for making her a blessing to so many. I thought about this, how humble she was. Like, she wrote my favorite song. And so many different songs. She was so popular, but she would not let herself be recognized. She would not take the credit for it, because it was God's. And so many times I find myself, I'm gifted by something that God has given me, and I take the credit for it. So many things in my life that I just always take the credit for. And sure, I say that I give God the credit, but really I don't. I try to go places that I will get acknowledged for what I do, when really I should just be quiet and just let God do the work, not even be around. Like, just give everything to God like she did. That's a deep thing that I question myself as I read that. And why I chose this song. Well, Blessed Assurance is my favorite song. Just knowing that we have the Blessed Assurance, that we don't always have to be afraid of falling away and losing grace. And just last weekend, Trevor's message about falling asleep if you never awake in the first place, that really hit me hard. And another thing was my little siblings. So the one day I come home, we were working on a day. I was riding back home with my horse, and I come home, tired day, had nothing else to do after that, finished work early, went well. So I come on the yard, and my siblings are there. And this must have been like the first time in a long time. I just asked them, "Do you guys want to ride?" And then they're like, "Sure." And then after I gave my little brother a ride, Toby, he goes inside and he's just publishing the news. Everybody, David's happy. And I'm like, thanks. But I didn't realize I'd been a miserable grouch lately. I didn't know that. I thought I was just being myself. But no, I wasn't at all. And lately, it's just been that way. I've just been miserable. And just everything this song really touched me, how even though I was probably spiritually asleep, God's blessed assurance never left me. He was still with me. He brought me out of that. Just being here today, it feels like you just barely get out of that, and then you have no right to speak of the blessed assurance. But I think that makes me have less pride. I think that's why God did that. And that was just a really great thing. Like the little siblings and all of them, they're like, David's happy. They all came outside. They want to rise. It's like, oh man, you guys, that was such a tough thing. And that's when you really realize those little kids, they aren't afraid to say anything. They don't have pride in their way, anything. They're just great. And so that was a bit of a journey of mine. And then just this past week, just asking myself if I was spiritually asleep, just not really caring anymore. And I got to be honest, that's what I was. I just didn't care about nothing anymore. And just as I go into this, I realized today that I put a whole pile of verses in here that really didn't have to be there at all. The ending is what I would like you guys to take home. If you're anything like me, you won't remember any of it anyways. So the ending is what I would really like for you guys to just take home and just realize the place where I was in, just that blessed assurance that it never leaves us. So anyways, I'll get into my long explanation for no reason. So I get the first slide. Oh boy, I should have took my glasses. I'm half blind. Okay, so blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That's the song, the title, blessed assurance. And the rest all just kind of is just a reflection of the blessed assurance. There's nothing that deep theologically in here. I don't know why so many verses. It just didn't make sense. But anyways, I did it, so I decided to go this way. This morning I realized that. But anyways, 1 John 4:13 through 18. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment in this world. We are like Jesus. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Pretty simple, right? I think if we fear the ending of the world, if we're not looking forward to it, I think we should check ourselves if we are spiritually awake. But if we look forward to, and we, so many passages says, we know we have God's love if we love his people. And if we love his people, we should care for them enough to spread the gospel message that they would too have salvation. And that really, that hit me. Like lately, just spiritually asleep, that I didn't even have a desire to spread the gospel. It wasn't like a crazy desire. Sure, I had some things that I thought of, but not a desire. And that was just, I wasn't looking forward to the end. Me and Trevor were talking about this in a theology last week. He asked me if I was looking forward to the end, and I had to say no, because I wasn't. But I remember a time about half a year ago or whatever, I was really looking forward to it. I didn't really care much about the world, but lately my care for the world just picked up way too much, and I was just thinking about all these different things, and that really touched me. If we aren't ready for the end of the world, if we aren't gladly looking forward to it, we should really check ourselves. But if we are, on the flip side, if we are looking forward to it, we have so many promises that God will never leave us, even in the down times, even in the times that you're asleep. He just gives us all these blessings. And Jesus prays for us too in John 17, where he prays for us as believers. I found that pretty interesting when I first read that, that we would persevere throughout this earth, that we wouldn't be tempted among what we could bear, beyond what we could bear. And James says that very clearly. We choose to let in, and we fail God all the times, but he never fails us. His love is perfect. That was one thing that really just hit me in the feels. Anyways, going on to the next slide. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. So I picked this passage, 2 Corinthians 5:1-5. It doesn't really go with it, but I guess I'll pick out a few things that I kind of thought of it. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. So that is what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So basically what this is saying is even though we long for us to be brought up to heaven with Christ, there's still things on this earth that we long to see and everything. Like, say if we have relatives that aren't born again, it ain't necessarily wrong to want to be on this earth, to not look forward to the end for their sake. That ain't wrong at all. But we shouldn't care about the world that much that we don't look forward to the end. The end is something great. And I really like how it says, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. I feel like where I was like at least a week ago, and I still am there, this I called this tent that I live in now. I thought of it kinda as my home. Like this is where I was gonna accomplish things here on this earth, this tent. And it's a tent, that's kinda ridiculous. Why would you put fancy furniture and all these different things in a tent? Makes no sense. But you should rather put it in a home. That was the one thing that really touched me. Why am I trying to build in a tent? Like anybody with any amount of common sense knows that that's not a good idea. And why am I not looking forward to building stuff in a tent? Just do with what I have for now, do my best, and work hard towards the home. That was one thing that really hit me. Just that we can get so caught up living in a tent. And I'll just go on to the next slide. So heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Great words. Love that. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. We are God's possession. So if we are God's possession, God being the God that he is, he'll take care of us. We have assurance that he will bring us through the highs and lows. I think everybody goes through them. I sure do. We have the Holy Spirit, the deposit, the assurance. The Holy Spirit as guarantee. God gave us the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit would keep us in check. Keep us on the straight and narrow. Not following all these rules. Like the straight and narrow, I don't think means following all these rules. It means following Jesus. Not following way up there, like trying to follow all these little rules right here, but looking at the big picture. Just following Jesus and we'll be fine. Then we don't need all these rules. If we just follow Jesus, there's no need for a whole pile of rules because we'll desire what is good. I think there were some more passages that went into that go on later. So I'll just go on to the next slide, which I think is the chorus. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. I found that pretty crazy that this is our story. And I was like, I'm not sure what to bring on that. But then I thought of it. What is our story? And I thought of Luke 15:7. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Does this mean that there are righteous people in the world that don't need to repent? I don't think so. Jesus is meaning that the self-righteous people that think they are good enough and they won't accept that they are broken. I found this really interesting how this is our story. I just thought this was our story and this is our song. That we were all at some point the lost sheep that had strayed from the path. And just completely lost. We didn't know where we were. We couldn't help ourselves. And I think we all had to come to that acknowledgement sooner or later. It's a tough thing to do, but I think we've all been there. And it doesn't mean that we still will never stray from the path a little bit. I lose my focus off of Jesus. I lose my focus off of following Jesus. I start building this earthly tent. But that's where God comes in. He is our Savior. And he just brings us back in check with the power of the Holy Spirit. I really thought that was amazing. And we should just praise our Savior all the day long for all the things that He does for us. I know I fail Him every single day, so I should definitely praise Him. Even though sometimes I'm like, why is this so hard? Why are you making this so hard when I should really just be praising? I think myself, last night I thought myself as pretty sick. I was outside roping and just thinking of these things, and I was like, oh man, this is just horrible. But anyways, going on to the next slide, verse 2. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. I thought that was pretty amazing. John 10:27-30. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So Jesus is saying no one can snatch them out of his hand. There's just no way. And I think that that's really important. I really like how he said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And a result of that, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. We should listen to God's voice more. And I know for myself, I don't want to say for you guys, but I should be in His Word more. Definitely. Some of the youth messages there kind of hit me about reading the Bible every day. For a long time, I kind of despised it because in the previous church that we went to, if you read your Bible every day, you were in the category of holy. I didn't like that very much. But I'm coming to realize more and more that it is important and that I really fail in that. That I should listen to God's voice more, and not only through the Bible, but through prayer. Prayer way more important than the Bible, I figure. The early disciples, they could live without the New Testament, but they had prayer, they had the fellowship, they were the New Testament. We are too. And I think prayer is another great one, just the best one, actually. Just listen to God's voice. He knows us, and then we will follow Him. It doesn't say follow Jesus and then listen to His voice, tells you that He would tell you what to do. But no, listen to His voice, then He will know us. And by knowing us, He knows every little thing about us. He knows what we do, and He knows how to send His Holy Spirit in order to prepare us for things. And then we will follow Jesus. Then we will do the things that He wants us to do. Evangelize and all these different things. So going on to verse 3, my favorite passage, Philippians 1:6. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. So Philippians 1:6, I am confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Great. Simple verse, easy to remember. This is one verse that I go to a lot because I fail so many times. But I know that God is always there for me. He never lets me go. The work that He started, This gives me such great encouragement. The work that he once started, just even the first time I realized the wickedness in me, that was where he started his work. Even though that doesn't seem like the work that he does, I tend to think that the work that he does is makes us holy. But I think really the beginning of his work is where he makes us realize how disgusting we really were. And that was the beginning of his work in me. So I can just have assurance that he will bring it to completion. And by completion, there's another passage, I think it's in John 17, somewhere in there, where he says, "Father, just as you have glorified me," and he prays for us as believers, and he says, "Glorify them also." By glorifying them, he means don't praise the saints and all these different things, but he means to glorify us as in to bring us to heaven. He will complete that work all the way, done, seal the deal, bring us to be eternally with him. That's what keeps me going on in this Christian journey. Without that, I would have gave up a long time ago. There's just no way I would continue. That I can know that no matter what happens, he still has me in all of life. And that's basically it. You can add a whole lot of different complicated things, but it's very simple. We have God's blessed assurance. And we listen to God. He will bring our life to completeness, and he will give us joy. So many passages that say that if we listen to him and just obey him, we will have joy to the fullest. I think that's really great, and I think I forget that all too many times. Just what great joy that God can really bring me, and what peace that I can have. Sometimes it feels like I have to do all these earthly things to have peace, and it ain't wrong. It ain't wrong to have earthly joy. Go blow up stuff with Tannerite and stuff like that. It ain't wrong. I love it. But I think we should keep on looking to the bigger picture here. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for listening.